We may take baptism for granted, but we come here today remembering that God has claimed us in Jesus Christ. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. It is my conviction, and I believe the conviction of many, that the Spirit of God is working on you and me to make us to be the people that God wants us to be. I believe with all my heart that Tyree Green was wrong. Tyree Green was a very smart man, a business person who had worked for years in New York City and lived his retirement in Shelby, North Carolina, where I was pastor. Tyree Green said, "I really have no need of Christian education or study because that's for children and that's finished and over with, and I'm a grown man now and I've moved on." I really appreciated Tyree Green. He was a good guy. He was an elder and did good things. But I disagreed with him on that point, that the Spirit of God continues to teach you and me things in our lives, no matter where we are, no matter what the context of our life. And so this morning, I pour water in this baptismal bowl to ask God to keep washing and cleansing us and making us complete and whole in Jesus Christ, especially with the living word. Let us pray that be so. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for a church that understands and seeks to understand the importance of Scripture and the word. And we pray that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading today is just a couple of verses from Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. This is the New Revised Standard Version. You might want to follow along in these maroon today's English version in the seats, but you'll get a different translation. But for today, last week and today, I'm using this version. So hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the word of the Lord. In August 1994, our son William was beginning his senior year at Shelby High School. Our daughter Anna was about 13. Our daughter Caroline was about 9. They were getting ready for school. In fact, they'd already started school. I hesitate because for years we were in Richmond, and in Richmond you go to school after Labor Day. Here we go to school, we start school before Labor Day. Across the world, in the New Hebrides, the new Inner Hebrides Island in Scotland, there were two young men from the British band KLF. And they were in a very remote place, in an empty barn, and they were burning paper. They were burning a sizable amount of paper. And if you had been there, you would have looked around and you said, "Is this what you've come here to do?" They probably wouldn't have answered, but you might have seen a bit of a corner of a paper dancing above the flames that had an image of Queen Elizabeth of England. And you would have begun to say, "Isn't this money that you're burning?" There were hundreds and hundreds of 50-pound notes. In fact, it was 1.2 million in British pounds that two members of the KLF band were burning. They got the idea because they had an extra $1 million and they wanted to move beyond the music scene into conceptual art. And so they decided they wanted to make a statement about money in the world. And so they proposed that they would take 50 British pound notes and attach them to a structure and give them to museums all over the British Isles. And the only problem with that idea was that all of the curates and all of the boards of all the museums in England said, "We can't insure that. We will never insure all your crazy ideas." And they said, "Well, let's just burn it. Let's just burn a million pounds." And so in order to make sure that this was authentic, they had the charred remains of their notes tested in laboratories, and they videoed the proceedings. You can go home and look on YouTube. In fact, I was trying to figure out a way to get it here, but it's a little too fantastic, a little too strange, that these two guys are burning $1.2 million in British money. YouTube, KLF band, 1994, you'll see it all on video. It is amazing. The event came off as they had planned. What they could not prepare themselves for was the reaction of the public. They were called stupid. They were called self-centered. "We cannot believe you would burn £1 million that could feed hungry people, that could replenish rainforests, that could be used to start businesses, that could give people jobs, that could assist single mothers, that could address the universal problem of world hunger, that can do 1,025 useful things and more, depending on people's imagination." And yet they did, and it's there for us to see. And their argument was, there are no less apples in the world, there's no less bread in the world, but what people cried out to them was, there's the loss of possibility. The incident, I don't know about you, but there is a tug in my heart about what's going on there. To waste $1.2 million as an act of art seems to misunderstand the meaning of art. The reason I bring this up here is because Jesus understood the tug that you and I have with money. There is something going on in all our lives. We wish we could have the responsibility of knowing what to do with $1.2 million, $1.2 in British pounds. Not the same, but nevertheless, it was over $1 million in American money. This morning, we turn to Jesus' words that reflect what is in Matthew 5-7, but in Luke, we understand it to be the Sermon on the Plain. And Jesus speaks promises, and he offers an observation. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the good news that is inferred, the promises he shares, and the observation he makes. The observation is very clear. The observation is, whatever it is you will give, the measure you give will be the measure you get back. That's the observation. Now leave that up there. We need that. There is good news implied in this scripture. You can read all the Gospels, and nowhere does Jesus judge anyone except those people who are judging others. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus, in fact, goes to places where people hang out who are known sinners, who violated the Jewish law. people who are ill and sick, who were disgusting to perfect specimens of Jewish faith and life. Jesus went to people everywhere not to judge them and not to condemn them, but to forgive them and to give to them abundant life in his name. If you read John 3:16 and read the next verse, you will understand that the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world and to give the world eternal life. And so when the church gathered at Nicaea in 325, there were many discussions there in that place about how was it possible that Jesus died on a cross and forgave our sin. And yet John recorded, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The good news is, we read this and we should see in this verse 37, Jesus does not judge us. He doesn't condemn us. He died to forgive us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he seeks to give you and me life in abundance, life that is tangible and real. And he says to us, "Give and it will be given to you." This morning, this is the last of five sermons that have focused on ways this church can grow. We begin. You might need to help me here. We began by talking about loving our neighbor. We began by talking about being hospitable as a congregation and caring about people. We talked about worshiping passionately. We talked about studying God's word and seeking to think like Jesus to the degree in which we eat Jesus' flesh and we drink his blood, we eat his ideas and we drink his mission and we receive him into our lives. Last week we talked about doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God, of doing things in this world that maybe don't change the whole world, but make a difference. And this morning, we end finally on a word. How is it we can grow? We give generously for the glory of God. And I turn to this passage that, if we can go back to the passage, I turn to this passage that is encompassing more than just giving. It's recognizing that we are not to judge, that we are not to condemn, that we are to forgive and to give. And you ask me, how is that possible? It's only possible by our beginning to take seriously what Jesus is teaching us here. When he speaks of a good measure, it comes to identify these promises. That a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The scene is in the marketplace, and you have bought grain. And you are standing there with your basket, and the merchant is putting into your basket grain, and the merchant is not trying to fluff it up so that he can provide less grain. He presses it down. And then he shakes your basket so you can get more. In fact, as a result of his doing that, he provides an amount that is running over. That will be poured into your lap. When in your life has life been like that? When has your life been a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap? Is it at Thanksgiving when you're standing there looking at a Thanksgiving table with family and the table is laden with more food than you can possibly imagine, maybe even some of your favorites? That's a moment of abundance, isn't it? Or at Christmas time when you're gathered with family and everybody is on the floor and opening presents and there's a spirit of laughter. I don't deny that occasionally families get into it with each other a little bit. Sometimes there's actually conflict in your family and in mine. But there in that place of gift-giving, there is often a feeling, an experience of abundance. Or when you are gathered at perhaps a tavern or a restaurant with friends and you're laughing, and you're laughing so much that there are tears in your eyes, and you appreciate these people and you're having a good time together, there's an experience of abundance. That's what this is like. That's what this is. And it is an image of what Jesus is teaching us will be offered to us of life. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. We should think intentionally about what it is we give. There was a widow, according to Luke's gospel, who was very intentional. Now, on the day she was there, there were people who came in with fine robes and beautiful wives and children, and they walked to the front, and they wanted to make sure everyone saw who they were, and they put their money in the container, in the place where the offering was given. But the widow, she didn't want to be seen, and nobody ever saw her. Nobody saw the widow except Jesus. And Jesus saw her put in all that she had. Or what about the small boy who was there part of the crowd when Jesus spoke that day on a hillside in Galilee? And it had gone on longer than expected. Many people were healed. Jesus said powerful things. And Jesus decided the people needed to be fed, and the disciples turned around and started looking for the possibility of food, and they complained to Jesus, "We're a long way from any stores, and the village is far away. We can't provide anything." But there was a small boy next to one of the disciples, and he said, "I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciple picked up the lunch and said to Jesus, "But what is that among so many?" There was a guy who was curious about seeing Jesus, and he was so curious that he climbed up into a tree, and he had no idea that Jesus knew his name. He had no idea that Jesus even cared about him. He had no idea that Jesus was going to come to his house. But Jesus did all those things. And when Jesus went to the house of a tax collector that day, it stirred him so deeply. It made him experience the love and mercy of God so profoundly that he said, "Half my goods of what I own I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone," and everybody that knew him in his family and beyond were chuckling because they knew he'd defrauded people, he said, "I will give 4 times what I have wronged people." Zacchaeus. Peter and James and John followed Jesus, left family, left the family business, and followed Jesus all their days. Jesus gave his life. And so, as you and I are thinking about what we give, we should remember the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Now, I don't think that's an easy observation. Probably out of the 5 sermons, this is the one I struggle with the most, just to be honest. It is tough to make things work financially. And I need God's grace and God's help to be faithful. And even as a pastor, I'm not always faithful. But I read this word, and I must admit to you that I'm sharing this with you without notes because I'm dealing with this myself. The measure that I give will be the measure I get back. We've heard that before. It is, well, you get out of life what you give it, right? I do believe that's what Jesus is saying, but he's saying it with the gospel. And I believe it's aimed at people who give nothing. I believe it's aimed at people like me who are struggling. I believe it's aimed at people who are very generous. It's for all of us. And it's meant to help us to act, to give of ourselves, to know that Jesus does not judge us, does not condemn us. He died that we might be forgiven, and he gives us life, and he wants us to put this money business in perspective. What those guys did in Scotland was absurd. And what Jesus says can help us make sense of the resources God gives us. May God assist, may God help me and you as we seek to be faithful to this passage, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. May it be so, by God's grace, that we all give generously for the glory of God. There are important things happening in this church right now. I hope you sense it and feel it and know it. There are greater days ahead. May God continue working in us, that we be a generous congregation now more than ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you this day for the opportunity to be present with each other and before you here in this place. We hear the words of Jesus, and we pray that you would help us to hear his good news. Help us to receive him, to receive of him what we can. We don't always understand what he's saying. But Lord, upon your encouragement, upon your word that the measure we give will be the measure we get back, we know that we cannot outgive you. And so enable each of us to give generously for the glory of Almighty God in this place and beyond. We ask your help as we seek to be a faithful congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.